Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Lamed. We left off in daf Chav Tes and Beis. I think we're at the two dots, about 10 lines before the end of the page. So the Mishnah said, "V'chomet shalovdei chavim shrei mitchilasu yayin." That if you have vinegar of ovdei kochavim that originally was wine. So says the Gemara, Pshita. That the pshita mishum de ichmitz pakale yisurei. Of course, that's going to be aser. If it was originally wine in the hands of the ovid kochavim, of course it's going to be aser. What? Just because it turned into vinegar, the iser is going to go away. Something that's already cheftet shel iser that was already nisnaseich, or it could be that it was already nisnaseich. It's just going to become mutter because it later turns to vinegar. So ravashi ha aser lashmina. Now this is the chiddush. Chomet shalanu bi ovid kochavim ein sar chosam betal chosam. That if we leave our vinegar in the hands of an ovid kochavim, we don't need a double seal, because if you're worried that he might be menasech, he's going to use it to pour libations to avodah zarah, well, he's not going to do that with vinegar. He would only do it while it's still wine. And if you're concerned that he's going to switch it for his own chometz, which may have earlier, while it was wine, been used for nisuch, since there's one chosam on it, since there's one seal on it, he's not going to go through the tircha of forging a seal just to switch your vinegar for his vinegar. The benefit to him is so minimal that there's no, that he wouldn't bother trying to forge anything just for that benefit. We learned that if you have yayin mevushal, you have cooked wine of an ovid kochavim that originally was wine that was not cooked, meaning the ovid kochavim had it before it was cooked and it was in his possession that it was cooked, so it's aser. It's still going to be aser because of a chashash of yayin nesach. So, frankly, mar pshita mishum div shal pakala yisura. Of course, it's aser just because it later got cooked. That's going to take away the aser, meaning obviously when it was in the hands of the ovid kochavim before it was cooked, it was aser. So just because the ovid kochavim cooks it, that's going to take away an existing aser? No. What does yayin mevushal do for us if it's in our hands and we know an ovid kochavim hasn't touched it yet and we cook it? Then you subsequently don't have to worry that he's going to use it for nisuch. That if it then goes into the hands of an ovid kochavim, it's not going to be a problem. But if it was already in the ovid kochavim's hands before it was ever mevushal, so of course it's going to be aser. So Ravashi ha asalashmina. Now this is the chiddush that it's coming to tell me. Yayin mevushal shalanu biyad ovid kochavim ein tzar chosam betal chosam. That if we have yayin mevushal and we leave it in the hands of an ovid kochavim, you do not need a double seal to protect our own yayin mevushal. Why? Because if you're worried about nisuch, well, don't worry. He's not going to be menasech yayin mevushal. That's something that they wouldn't use. It's beneath the dignity of the avodah zarah that they hold the avodah zarah into to be menasech yayin mevushal. It's not chashuv enough. And if you're worried that he's going to switch it for his own wine, and his own wine may have been used for nisuch, well, again, we have that same svara. Once there's at least one chosam on it, once there's one seal on it, so we don't have to worry that he's going to go through the trouble of trying to be mezayif it. He's not going to want to be mezayif it. Good, says the Gemara Vayter. Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Yain mevushal va'alunta shalov dechav masurin. If you have either cooked wine or aluntas, which we'll soon see exactly what it is, but it is some type of drink that's made with a mixture of wine and other ingredients. So if you have these items of an ovid kochavim, they are aser. Why are they aser? Because it used to be wine, and it was in the ovid kochavim's possession when it was wine. And like we said before, if it was in the ovid kochavim's possession when it was pure, good wine, so it became aser then. It then doesn't become mutter when he subsequently cooks it or subsequently mixes it with other ingredients. Aluntis kebriyasu muteris. But if you have straight aluntis in its original form, then it's mutter. What does it mean, kebriyasu in its original form? Says Rashi, shelo haya yayin mitchila biyad ovid kochavim el lacha asuya miyad Yisrael. Let's say the ovid kochavim didn't mix the ingredients himself. He didn't take his own wine and his own other ingredients and make an aluntis. No, he bought the whole aluntis from a Yisrael. So the Yisrael is the one that mixed the ingredients. By the time the non-Jew got it, it was already all mixed up. So that's why it's going to be mutter. because by the time it's all mixed up, there's no longer a chashash of nisuch, and it didn't come into the Ovid Kochavim's possession until it was all mixed up. That's how Rashi explains our Gemara. That's how he explains this line of Aluntis Kibriyasa. Says Tosos, if that is correct, then on the third line of Tosos, Umikan Raya Lahatir Tavshil Shenasar Boyayin Kodem Shabishluhu Inagabe Ovid Kochavim. So based on this, it seems that if you have a cooked dish that you mix wine into the dish as one of the ingredients, even if you haven't yet cooked it, you just mixed wine in with other ingredients, and then an Ovid Kochavim touches it, it's not a problem. Because what we see from this Gemara, the way Rashi understands it, is that once it gets mixed in with other ingredients, you don't have to worry about anything that an Ovid Kochavim might do to it. Even if it goes into the Ovid Kochavim's hands, after it's already been mixed with other ingredients, there are no problems, nothing to worry about. Frek Tosvos vehikshra benatam the lashon kibriyasa lemashmakein. He says, first of all, the word kibriyasa doesn't sound like it means that the Jew is the one who mixed it. Doesn't sound like that's what the Gemara is trying to express. Va'od perakamid the chulin mashmashu kari aluntis kodem shnasu l'tocha yain. Plus, the Gemara in Chulin implies that aluntis is already called aluntis even before wine is mixed into it. It says if a person buys yayin to put it into aluntis, doesn't say to make aluntis with it. The implication is even before the wine is mixed into the other ingredients themselves are called aluntis. He says, no, you know what aluntis is? They mix up the other ingredients before they put the wine in. And that's the derech, that they put all the other ingredients first, and then they put it away to last for a long time. And then every time they want to take a drink, they mix it with wine as they're about to take a drink. They don't put it with the wine and then put it away. They put it away without any wine, and that way it will last a long time. Once you put the wine in, it becomes much more perishable. So they don't put the wine in for long term. Only as they're about to drink from it, they put a little bit of wine in it. Oh, that's the pshat. So what's our Gemara talking about when it says aluntis kibriyasas mutares? Vachi perusho aluntis shalavid kacham shemashkua menachavis kidei lishtos. If you see that a guy takes an aluntis from the barrel in order to drink, and you didn't see at the time that he took it out of the barrel, so then it's going to be asur because maybe he added wine to that mixture. But kibriyasa, what does kibriyasa mean? Pirish kemoshi inasis mitchila below yayin, in its original state before they add the wine to it, before they mix wine into it. And you see him pull aluntis, regular aluntis, that without the wine in it, straight from the barrel, then it's muteris, tevate, lo yirbo yayin, then it's mutter, because you know that there's no wine in it. He would never mix wine in it while it was still in the barrel. He would only mix wine in it later on. So, says Tosel, so you see, our Gemara is not a raya, that just because you mix wine with other ingredients, that you don't have to worry about an Ovid Kochavim touching it. Our Gemara is not about that. Our Gemara is not about wine mixed with other ingredients. It's about other ingredients mixed without wine being there. So our Gemara is not a raya. Nevertheless, Tosel says, there is a raya from a Tosefta that is in fact true, that if wine gets mixed with other ingredients and a guy touches it, it's not a problem once it's already been mixed with other ingredients. If you take a look at the end of Tosos, va'omer ritzba, didafka tafshil lefi she'en ayayin nikr be'en klal, avu k'shemesimin bo b'shumin o b'chardel, shami yesh lachos l'mag ovid k'chavim lefi shu ben yoser, v'chein alach l'maisa. He says, but maybe that this heter of mixing wine with the other ingredients is only with a tavshil, where the wine loses its character and loses its distinctiveness amongst the other ingredients. But stam, you mix wine, you put wine together with a little chardol, a little shuman, with a little garlic, a little mustard, something like that. So then maybe we still have to be choshesh mishum magovid kuchavim, because maybe in that situation the wine still retains enough of its character. Okay, back in the Gemara, fourth line, ve'ezu hi aluntis, what is the definition of aluntis? So we quote from Masechta Shabbos, kidetani we have a brisa in regards to Hilchos Refua on Shabbos. Gabe Shabbos, osin anumlin ve'enosin aluntis. A person is allowed to make anumlin on Shabbos, but not aluntis. Ve'ezuhi anumlin, ve'ezuhi aluntis. What is alumnin and anumlin? What is aluntis? Anumlin yain udvash pilplin. Anumlin is wine, honey, and peppers mixed together. Aluntis yain yashan umayim tzlulin va'aparsimon da'avdi libe masusa. That it's old wine, it's clear water, it's aparsimon that are all mixed together for the bathhouse. So what's the difference between the two? Why is it that anumlin is mutter to make on Shabbos if after all it's used in some way for refuah? We're talking over here about the iser of medical treatment on Shabbos, of taking refuah on Shabbos, which is a gzera mishum tochein, that we're worried that you're going to come to grind up your own medications if we allow taking medications on taking therapeutic things on Shabbos. So the heter is that a numlin is something that's a delicious food. It's a regular food that people would drink. It's not something that it happens to have therapeutic value, but it's like drinking a hot tea on Shabbos. It's one of the heterim that is, even though you might be taking something for therapeutic reasons, if it's what many achronim have termed a machal briyim, if it's a healthy kind of food, a food that healthy people would eat, and it's not only for sick people, so then it's mutter. So even though you don't normally like chicken soup, but if you have a cold and you want to have chicken soup on Shabbos, it's totally mutter to have the chicken soup, even though you're doing it for therapeutic reasons. Question is, would we say the same thing by a pill? Would we say the same thing by something that's actually ground up and is taken in pill form if healthy people normally take it? Big discussion about aspirin. There used to be a lot of people who take aspirin to prevent heart attacks, right? So is that called a machal briyim if some people eat it when they're perfectly healthy? People take it even not for therapeutic reasons. So can you take it for a therapeutic reason if other people take it for non-therapeutic reasons? Or let's say vitamins. A lot of people just take vitamins because to fortify themselves or whatever. So are you allowed to take vitamins since it's a machal briyim? Okay, so that's a major shaila in the poskim in regards to refuah on Shabbos. Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tervai Yain Mazu Gein Bo Mishum Gilui. Rabbi and Rav Yosef both said that forget about Yain Nesach for a second. What about, there's another issue that you have to deal with Yain, and that is Gilui. Gilui means that you leave it exposed, and when you leave anything exposed, well, they always had to be worried that a snake might have come and deposited its venom into the exposed drink. So Rabbi and Rav Yosef both said that once the wine has been diluted, you no longer have to worry about gilui. You don't have to worry that a snake deposited its venom in the wine. Yain mevushal ein bo mishum nisach. Cooked wine, you don't have to worry about nisach. You don't have to worry about our issue of avodah zarah wine once it's cooked. So, frek the Gemara, the obvious question then. Ibayilahu, yain mevushal yesh bo mishum giloi, o ein bo mishum giloi. What you didn't tell us is whether cooked wine is going to be something that you have to worry that a snake is going to deposit its venom in. Is that an issue? Is yain mevushal, is cooked wine a problem of giloi or not a problem of giloi? Tashmal bring a raya. Hey, Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, yain mevushal shein bo mishum giloi. Rabbi Yaakov Aridi was made, the yain mevushal is not a problem of giloi. Rabbi Yane bar Yishmal chalash, Rabbi Yane bar Yishmal got sick once. Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud Rabban Shulibay. Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud and the Rabban went to go see how he was doing. Yasif Kami Bailu, so they went and they asked him the following Shaila while they were talking, so they were schmoozing with him and learning. So they said, Yain Mavushal Yesh Bamishum Giloy Ain Bamishum Giloy. What do you think? Is cooked wine a problem of Giloy? Do you have to worry that a snake deposited its venom or not? Amr Lahu Rabbi Shmuel ben Zirud Hachyam Rabbi Shum ben Lakish Mishum Gavra Rabba. He says, well, I could tell you what Rabbi Shum ben Lakish said in the name of a Gavra Rabba, and you know who that Gavra Rabba was? Umanu Rabbi Chia, Yain Mevushal, Ein Bo Mishum Giloi. That Yain Mevushal, there's no problem of Giloi. Amr Lei, Nismoch, he said, can we be Samech on that? That it's not a problem of Giloi? Machvil Rabbi Yani Bar Rabbi Shmuel, alive al Tzavari. So Rabbi Yani Bar Rabbi Shmuel made a symbol, a gesture, to show that absolutely you can rely on it. I'll take it on myself. It's on my neck if anything happens. If you die, I'll take it on my neck if anything happens. So Shmuel of Avleit Avias. Shmuel and Avleit. Avleit was the name of an Ovid Kochavim, Rashi says, of a non-Jew. Shmuel and Avleit were sitting together having a meal. Asul Kamayu Chamru Mevashla, and they served cooked wine, Yayin Mevushal, at the meal. Mashchil Yadi. Now Avleit knew that he's not allowed to touch Shmuel's wine, that if he touches Shmuel's wine, Shmuel's not going to drink it. So he pulls his hand back, so he's not going to take. Amrle Shmuel, Hare Amru, Yayin Mevushal, Ein Bo Mishum Yayin Esach. He says, no, nothing to worry about. This is Yayin Mevushal, this is cooked wine. So it's not a problem of Yayin Esach. You can feel free to touch it. Amsid Rav Chia, Iglu Yilahu Chamrim Vashla. The maidservant of Rabbi Chia had left exposed Yain Mevushal, wine that was cooked. Ashil kamed Rabbi Chiya. So she went to Rabbi Chiya. Amrla hare amru yain mevushal ein b'mishum giloi. So he paskin for her. Don't worry, it's not a problem. Cooked wine is not a problem of giloi. There's no issue of giloi when the wine has been cooked. Shame deravad barava igli lechamr meziga. The shamish of Rav Barava once had exposed a diluted wine. He says, nothing to worry about. Diluted wine is not a problem of giloy, so nothing to be concerned about. That's only if it's really diluted. But if it's only partially diluted, it's not diluted very well, so then the snake will drink from it, and therefore you do have to worry about it. Will the snake really drink from something that's partially diluted? Didn't Rabbi Barav Huna once go on a boat, and he had wine with him on the boat, and they saw a snake coming and, you know, eyeing their wine? So they're on the boat and they see a water snake coming around in the water, and he's looking at their wine, and he's and then they think that he's after their wine. So he said to Shamish, blind the eye of this one. It doesn't mean literally blind the eye, it means do something to make the snake not desire our wine anymore. So shakal kale maya shadabay. So he took a little bit of water and he put it in the wine, and then right away the snake turned away and he wasn't interested anymore. So don't you see from there that even if it's just partially diluted, even if it's diluted a very little bit, the snake is already not going to be interested in it? So shouldn't we say that even if it's mazug veinu mazug, even if it's only partially diluted, you should not have to worry about giloy? So answers the Gemara, if it's totally undiluted wine, the snake is even willing to take on a few guys in a boat. He's willing to risk his life in order to try to get that wine. He'll be moser nefesh for it. If it's partially diluted, he still wants it, but he's not willing to be moser nefesh for it. But he still might drink it. If no one's looking and it's only partially diluted, he'll still go for it. So partially diluted wine is still going to be a problem of giloy. So frankly, Marva, really? He's not going to give his life. He's not going to be Moser Nefesh for something that's partially diluted. Rabbi Yani was once Be'ach Buri. He was once by Achburi. And some say it was Bar Hedya who was Be'ach Buri. Who was by Achburi. It's the name of a place. So they were sitting and they were drinking diluted wine. Pashlu chamra bekuva, and they left a little bit of wine over in the barrel. Vitsarunu biparvanka, and they covered it with a cloth. V'chazyalu chivya, and they saw a certain snake. The shakal maya v'rama bekuva, ademalya bekuva, v'salu chamri lave parvanka. And a snake came, and he started drinking water and spitting it out into the barrel until it all floated up to the top, right? Until the cloth that was covering the barrel was taken off by the overflowing mixture of water and wine. Vishasi, and then the snake drank from it. So don't you see, even though it's very diluted, the snake is willing to even be Moser Nefesh in the presence of people. He was willing to be Moser Nefesh to try to drink from it. So Army, they said, not the Mazig Ihu Shasi. In that case, the snake himself diluted the wine by putting all that water into it. So when the snake himself dilutes the wine, he's going to want to drink from it. The Mizigi Yachrini Lo Shasi. When other people were mozing the wine, he's not going to want to drink from it. I'm not really sure how that really answers the question, because the way the story tells it is that Vavakashasi Chamra Maziga, is that they were drinking already diluted wine. Maybe the snake didn't realize that it was already diluted wine. I'm not sure. I don't really follow exactly how that answers the question. Now, this idea that once you have yayin mazug, that you don't have to worry about about giloy is one thing, but to say that we don't have to worry about yayin nesach when it's mazug, when it's diluted, that we're not gonna, that we don't paskin. The Shulchan Aruch, the Rama writes, Yeinu shalanu yoser tov mehem b'lo meziga. That the Rama says the wines are better without meziga, but sometimes yayin mazug is considered better. That was the only way they were able to drink it. Shnei chalkei yayin v'chelek echad mayim, or rather the other way, shnei chalkei mayim, 2/3 water and chelek echad yayin, was the only way that they were able to drink it. But anyway, So how do we, so the Gemara kept on trying to say, look, even if it's diluted, maybe you shouldn't have to worry about it because snakes aren't going to drink from it if it's diluted. And the Gemara tried to ask kashas from all these situations and we're doche each of the kashas. No, that's if the snake was diluting it himself. We come up with all these different duchios to the kashas. So Amar Ravashi Vitem Ramashashia Peruka L'Sakanta. I don't need terutzim for kashas on sakana. Meaning you're going to give a teretz on a kash on sakana. And what if your teretz is wrong? And then a person's going to die from drinking it? No, thank you. Meaning we're not going to rely on a teretz on, that you come up with, as sharp as it might be, as clever as the teretz might be. We're dealing with sakana over here. So that's not it's not good enough to rely on. This is very much related to the issue of Gemara Chul and Davav and all over Shas, where we say chamira sakanta me isura. When it comes to Yisra v'heter, the teretz that you give to a raya is maybe good enough. But when it comes to sakana, we're going to be much more strict. The Gemara in Chulin is very clear that even though we follow Rove when it comes to Isser, when it comes to Isser Veheter, Rove is what rules. When it comes to Sakana, we don't follow Rove because Sakana is treated more severely than Isser. We're not a simple Rove is not good enough. Okay, there is a Machlokas Achronim, whether the same is true about Bittel. Right? Do we say that Bittel B'Shishim doesn't apply for Sakana? Because Chamira Sakanta Meyasura. How far do we take Chamira Sakanta Meyasura? Let's say it's assumed that fish and meat mixed together is a Sakana. So let's say you have a very tiny amount of fish mixed in a huge amount of meat. So it's Bittel B'Shishim. So would you say a din of Bittel in something that's a concern of Sakana? So it's a major Machlokas Achronim. The Taz quotes in the name of the Dake Moshe, the Maril, that it's not Bittel. That part of Chamira Sakanta Meyasura is that Sakana is never going to be batal. The Nukud Sakesef, authored by the Shach on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, says that we're not machmir b'sakana when it comes to bittel b'shishim. We're machmir b'sakana when it comes to a suffix, that we're not going to rely on any sveikos. But if you know bevadeh that it was batal, so bittel is bittel. It loses all of its characteristics. This is a major issue lahalacha when it comes to Worcester sauce. I think that's how you say it. The kind of sauce that they put some fish in the sauce, and there was the first Susie Fishbane recipe book that came out had a major recipe that a lot of the Frum women were using for a veal spinach veal loaf or something like that, spinach veal dish. So it was supposed to be served with this kind of sauce. So it's veal, which is meat, and the sauce has a very minute amount of fish. So the shaila was, do you say that it was such a minute amount that it was way batal b'shishim over several times? But do you have to be worried? Because sakanta, chamir sakanta meyisura. So the OU took the stand at the time. The OU does not write OU fish on it, even though it has a very minute amount of fish, because their stance is, there is a hashkacha, OU fish, when there's a reasonable amount of fish, because their stance is, first of all, there's a sheet of the Magen Avraham, fish and meat is no longer a sakana, that if it's observable, that it's not dangerous anymore, that you don't have to worry about it at all. And even if you hold not like the Magen Avraham, but you still have this machlokas between the Shach and the Taz, whether we apply bittel when it comes to fish. Okay, anyway, says Gemara Vayter, Amarav Hilchso Yain Mazug Yesh B'Mishum Gilo V'Yesh B'Mishum Yain Asach. The halacha is diluted wine is a problem of being exposed, and it is a problem of Yain Asach. Yain Mavushal, but cooked wine, Ein B'Mishum Gilo V'Ein B'Mishum Yain Asach, is neither a problem of Giloy nor a problem of Yain Asach. Shamid Rav Chilki Bartuve, Egal Yahu Kista Demaya. The Shamish of Rav Chilki Bartuve had some water, a jug of water that was exposed. Vavanayim gabba, but he was sleeping right next to it. Now, with exposed things, it doesn't have to be wine. Any exposed liquid, we have to worry about the venom of a snake. But he was sleeping right next to it. Asal gabid Rabbi Chilka Bartuvi. So he went to Rabbi Chilka Bartuvi to ask, the Shaila, what do I do? Amalei hari amru emas yashin alein. He says, well, you know what they say, that a sleeping person scares the snake, so the snake's not going to do anything because he's afraid of a human being, even if he's sleeping. But that's only true during the daytime. At night, time he's not afraid of sleeping people. But the truth is, it doesn't make a difference if it's day or night. We never say that a snake is really afraid of sleeping people. We always assume even if you were sleeping right next to it, the snake might have deposited its venom into the liquid. Rav lo shasim be'arma, a Rav would never drink from the house of an Armenian. Amr lo zihir b'gilu, because he says they leave their drinks exposed, and I don't know what's in there. It could be dangerous to drink. Mi be'armalta shasi, but from the house of an almana who may have not known the halachos of how you're supposed to cover things up, he would still drink from her house, because Amr Sirchud the governor Nikita, because he would say, look, as long as she was married once and her husband knew how to take care of these things, she's going to keep the same minhagim in the house that were kept when her husband was alive. So if she always saw her husband always covered everything up before going to sleep, she'll do the same thing. Shmuel lo shasi maya mi be'er malta, Shmuel would not drink from an almana's house. Amr lesle masa degavra v'lo mechsi maya. He said the other way. That no, when her husband was alive, she was afraid of doing anything wrong because she didn't want to upset her husband. Now that the husband's dead, she's not going to cover it up. Avul mi be'er ma'a shasi, but Shmuel drank from a be'er ma'a. Nihida giluya l'kapti, aman kerusa mi'akapti. Granted, he may not be makbid, the Armenian might not be makbid about giluy and about what a snake might do to it, but he's makbid on cleanliness. He wants pashut cleanliness. So to keep his liquids clean, he's going to cover them up. So that's a very important line in halacha. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yerodeich HaBeisim Mem Aleph, where he was asked from mashgichim in a margarine factory somewhere in Europe, where they had to leave the factory early enough before Shabbos that they couldn't be there when they were closing up on Friday. So they didn't really see what was going on there on Fridays. But by law, the factory, by the law of that country, they had to do hagala, they had to clean out their kelim in a way that was a kashra hagala every Friday afternoon before closing for the weekend. That was the law for health reasons or whatever else. So that's why they had to clean out the kelim. So the mashgichim wanted to know, can we rely that by the time we come back, hagala's been done, and whatever happened, it's already kosher, everything's already been kosherized. Can we rely and such a thing? So Rav Moshe says, well, let's see. Our Gemara says that even if people aren't going to be makbid on the halacha, but they're makbid on cleanliness, so that hakpada alone is enough for us to rely on. So he says that he uses this as a sniff, amongst other reasons to be makil. This line in the Gemara is a sniff to be makil. His recall of Gemaras for these kinds of shaylos is just unbelievable. How you would apply avodah zarah daf lamed, where his mind immediately, who would ever remember this Gemara? So anyway, igadamri, rav lo shasi mayim mibayar ma'a, avu be'ar malta shasi. Rav would not drink water. Some say that Rav would not drink water from an Armenian, but from an Almana he would. And Shmuel lo shasi mai lo mi be'er mav lo mi be'er malta. Shmuel would drink from neither. Amar Rav Shimon Levi, shalosh yenos hein ve'en ben mishum giloy. There are three types of wine and they don't have an issue of giloy. Ve'elu hein, and they are chad mar matuk, sharp, bitter, and sweet. Chad tila harifa, sharp wine is tila harifa, very sharp stuff. The matri ziki, that's so sharp it breaks the barrels. Mar is yaranka. They apparently knew what that was. Matuk is chulia. Rav Chama masni liyuluya. Rav Chama taught it as a positive thing. Chad chamar opilpulin. Sharp is when it's a mixture of wine and peppers. Mar afis nasin, and matuk is mei barg. Okay, so it's these are good things that these wines have these characteristics. Just we didn't mention, what's the definition of mevushal? We keep saying yain mevushal is not being shum giloy, not mishum yain esach. What does it mean mevushal? How hot does it have to get? So the Rush writes in the name of the Ravid that it has to get to a boiling point. It has to boil up. The Ramban says it has to be cooked so much that it loses some of its volume from the cooking. So that's what the Chiddush Aran points out. Davda achasi, that's the same shear. It loses some of its volume when it starts to evaporate, and that happens when it boils. So it's the same exact shear. Shulchan Aruch in Yardei Simchuf Chav Gimli writes, when's it called mevushal? Mishir tiach al gabe esh. When it boils on the fire, and the Shach says in the name of the Rashba and the Ran, that's only if it boils for long enough that you can see that it's actually lost some of its volume. That's the definition of boiling. What if it's pasteurized? So I think Ramosha was makel. Ramosha held that pasteurization is enough of a boiling to call it mevushal. I think Rosh Zalman did not think so. Rosh Zalman did not think that process is enough for it to be called mevushal. Amr Rav Shimon Malakash, karyana inbo mishum giloy. Karyana is not a problem of giloy. My karyana, what is karyana? Amr Rav Shimon, chamra chal yada asim asya. It's a type of wine that comes from Asia. But in its original location, it still is a problem of giloy. My time of Chamar Medina, because it's the commonly drunk beverage in that place, and since it's the commonly drunk beverage, the snakes are used to it, so they'll drink from it in that location. Outside of that location, the snakes aren't used to it, they're not going to drink from it. Amarava, hai chamra de ikrim. If you have a wine that's already been turning, so it's turning to vinegar, up until 3 days, you still have to worry that it has a din of wine, and it's a problem of giloy, umishum yayin esach, and the problem of yayin. yayin nesach. Mikan ve'elach, but after 3 days, ein bo mishum giloi, ve'ein bo mishum yayin nesach. So you don't have to worry about giloi, nor do you have to worry about yayin nesach. And I say, afilu basa tos yom echashin mishum giloi. Even after 3 days, we're worried about giloi. My time, why are we worried about giloi after 3 days? Isn't it, after all, turning to vinegar? Zimnin mikri shasi, because sometimes the snake might drink from it, even though it's not alpi rov, the snake won't drink from it. But again, we don't follow rov when it comes to sakana. So sometimes the snake might come to drink from it. Tan rabbanan yayin toseis ein bo mishum giloi. Wine that's freshly squeezed, right? That hasn't really totally fermented. Freshly squeezed wine is not a problem of gilui. V'kametzisa. So how long do we assume that it still has such a din of toseis? Gimel yamim for 3 days. Hashchalim ein b'mishum gilui. Kress is not a problem of gilui. Ubnei gola nagu behen iser, but bnei gola were knowing iser on kress as well. V'lo amrinel deles buchala. That's only if it doesn't have any vinegar in it. Avlis buchala migri behu. But once it has vinegar in it, so the snakes are. It's gonna deter the snakes. They're not interested in going anywhere near it, and therefore it's not gonna be a problem of gilui anymore. Kuta chabavli, remember this from Seches Pesachim. Kuta chabavli, some type of dip that was made with stale bread and spoiled milk and all other delicious kinds of things. Ein bo mishum gilui. There's no problem of gilui in kuta chabavli. Ubnei gola nagu bo iser, but the bnei gola were knowing iser with it. Amar of Menashe I isbu nekurei chashin. And if there are teeth marks in it, so then it's something you might want to be concerned about. You might want to look at and be concerned that it might be a problem of gilui. Amar of Chibarashi Amar Shmuel mei tif tif ein bo mishum gilui. If you have liquid that's dripping, that there's a constant drip into the liquid, it's not a problem of gilui. Amar Vashi v'uda v'tifla de tif tif. That's only if it's consistently dripping, because the snake's going to go near it, and as long as he hears the dripping, he's going to be scared off by the sound, and he's not going to want to drink from it. But that's only if it's consistently dripping. If it breaks every 10 seconds, so then the snake's not going to hear it, and he'll go and he'll take in the interim. Amar Chia Barashi Amar Shmuel pita eina in bo mishum gilui. If you pick a fig from a tree, and the place where the stem was attached to the tree, it leaves a little hole in the fig, so that location is not a problem of gilui. You can leave that exposed. Kiman, who does this assume? Like kiaitana, detani Reb Lozer Omer, ochol adam anovim utayna belayla, veino choshish, mishum shenemar, shomer psalim Hashem. This is assuming like the shita that says that you could eat anovim utayna at night, and you don't have to worry about gilui, because shomer psalim Hashem, you act like a normal person, and you can assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to watch over people who act in a normal way. Meaning, it's such a tiny minority of situations where a snake is actually going to put its venom in there, that you normal people, it's, everything has risks. If you cross the street, there's a risk to it. As long as you act like a normal person, you don't have to assume that that's considered an isser of shmarta mol the nafshu seichem, that you're violating, so that you're doing something dangerous. The shverkat of this, or Moshe, used this concept in one of his earlier tshuvas about smoking. Someone asked him if it's mutter to smoke, and he used this concept. Shomer p'saim Hashem, everybody smokes. So okay, so some people die from it, but it's like crossing the street. Shomer p'saim Hashem. So that's what the later achronim point out, that it's a very strange application of the concept. Because Shomer p'saim Hashem, every time it's used in Shas, comes in a situation where you're not sure if the sakana is actually present. You don't know if what you're doing is actually dangerous. There's a tiny chance it might be dangerous. Smoking is vaday dangerous. You're just not sure, you know, how soon it's going to affect you. But it's vaday dachronim. So it's very difficult, all the later achronim point out, very difficult to apply this concept to smoking. Amar Rav Safra Mishum Rabbi Shua Droma, Shloshim Minei Arasein, there are three types of snake venom. Shel Bachur Shokea, from a young snake, it's very heavy and it sinks to the bottom. Shel Benini Mifapea, if it's a middle-aged snake, so it sort of hangs out in the middle. Vishel Zakein Saf, and if it's an older snake, the venom just floats to the top. Lemeimer Dekam Dekashish, Dekam Dekashish Kachush Chilei, do you mean to say that as snakes get older, they get weaker? But we learned in a brisa that there are three things that as they get older, they get stronger. Elohim, dog, nachash, v'chazir, and one of them is a snake. No, it gets stronger. The snake itself gets stronger. Its venom gets weaker. So why do we need to know that the young snake's venom sinks to the bottom? It's important to know, because if you see a barrel that's been exposed and 9 other people drink from it, and nothing happens to those 9 other people, don't be the 10th to drink from it. Because it may be that this, it was a young snake that put its venom in, and the snake sank to the bottom. There was a story like that. 9 people drank from it, and they didn't die. A 10th guy drank from it, boom, he died. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said, ah, that's the sinking venom of a young snake. And the same is true with a melon that's been exposed. Even though 9 people may have eaten from it, and they didn't die, don't be the 10th guy who eats from it. It happened once that 9 people drank from it and they ate from it and they didn't die. A 10th guy eats from it and he dies. And again, Rav says, this is an example of shokeh. This is an example of the sinking heavy venom. If you have water that's been exposed, don't pour it out into Rosh Hashanah. Don't sprinkle it in the house to keep the dirt down, the dirt floors down, you know, the dirt from kicking up. Don't mix cement with it. Don't feed it to your animal or your friend's animal. Don't wash your hands, face, or feet with it. Others say, on places of your body that there's no crack, there are no cracks in the skin, nothing exposed, so you could wash with it, otherwise you can't. So it's exactly the same thing as the Tanakama. The reason you can't wash your face is because there are cracks all over your face, your eyes, your nose, all that. So you can be now gava yad gava regel v'rum nida api. The nafkamina between them is the back of the hand, the back of the foot, and the rum nida api, the near the eyes where there's no parts of the face where there's no crack. That would be the nafkamina between the two shitas. Okay, but Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow. More about Mayim Magulim.